4. Venice, decompressed.
Shut up now,
the woman in 23E said, and Chia hadn't said anything at all.
Sister's going to tell you a story.
Chia looked up from the seatback screen, where she'd been working her way through the 11th level of a lobotomized airline version of Skull Wars. The blonde was looking straight ahead, not at Chia. Her screen was down so that she could use the back of it for a tray, and she'd finished another glass of the iced tomato juice she kept paying the flight attendant to bring her. They came, for some reason, with squared-off pieces of celery stuck up in them, like a straw or stir stick, but the blonde didn't seem to want these. She'd stacked 5 of them in a square on the tray, the way a kid might build the walls of a little house or a corral for toy animals. Chia looked down at her thumbs on the disposable Air Magellan touchpad. Back up at the mascara eyes, looking at her now.
There's a place where it's always light, the woman said. Bright everywhere, no place dark. Bright like a mist, like something falling, always, every second. All the colors of it, towers you can't see the top of, and the light falling. Down below, they pile up bars. Bars and strip clubs and discos, stacked up like shoeboxes, one on top of the other. And no matter how far you worm your way in, no matter how many stairs you climb, how many elevators you ride, no matter how small a room you finally get into, the light still finds you. It's a light that blows in under the door like powder. Fine. So fine. Blows in under your eyelids if you find a way to get to sleep. But you don't want to sleep there. Not in Shinjuku, do you?
Chia was suddenly aware of the sheer physical mass of the plane, of the terrible unlikeliness of its passage through space, of its airframe vibrating through frozen night somewhere above the sea, off the coast of Alaska now. Impossible but true.
No,
Chia heard herself say, as Skull Wars, noting her inattention, dumped her back a level.
No,
the woman agreed.
You don't. I know, but they make you. They make you. At the center of the world.
And then she put her head back, closed her eyes, and began to snore. Chia exited Skull Wars and tucked the touchpad into the seat back pocket. She felt like screaming. What had that been about? The attendant came by, scooped up the corral of celery sticks in a napkin, took the woman's glass, wiped the tray, and snapped it up into position in the seat back.
My bag, Chia said. In the bin?
She pointed. He opened the hatch above her, pulled out her bag, and lowered it into her lap.
How do you undo these?
She touched the loops of tough red jelly that held the zip tabs together. He took a small black tool from a black holster on his belt. It looked like something she'd seen a vet use to trim a dog's nails. He held his other hand cupped to catch the little balls the loops became when he snipped them with the tool.
Okay to run this?
She pulled a zip and showed him her sandbenders, stuffed in between 4 pairs of rolled-up tights.
You can't port back here, only in business of first, he said. But you can access what you've got. Cable to the seatback display if you want.
Thanks, she said. Got gogs.
He moved on. The blonde's snore faltered in mid-buzz as they jolted over a pocket of turbulence. Chia dug her glasses and tip sets from the nests of clean underwear, putting them beside her, between her hip and the armrest. She pulled the sandbenders out, zipped the bag shut, and used her free hand and both feet to wedge the bag under the seat in front of her. She wanted out of here so bad. With the sandbenders across her thighs, she thumbed a battery check. 8 hours on miser mode, if she was lucky. But right now she didn't care. She uncoiled the lead from around the bridge of her glasses and jacked it. The tip sets were tangled, like they always were. Take your time, she told herself. a torn sensor band, and she'd be here all night with an Ashley Modine Carter clone. Little silver thimbles, flexi framework fingers. Easy did it. Plug for each one. Jack and jack. The blonde said something in her sleep, if sleep was what you called it. Chia picked up her glasses, slid them on, and hit big red. My ass out of here. And it was. There, on the edge of her bed, looking at the low-res skyline poster, until Lo noticed. He stroked his half-grown mustache and grinned at her.
Hey, Chia.
Hey. Experience kept it sub-vocal for privacy's sake.
What's up, girl?
I'm on an airplane, on my way to Japan.
Japan? Kiki, you do our Budokan disc?
I don't feel like talking, Lo.
Not to a software agent, anyway, sweet as he might be.
Easy.
He shot her that cat-like grin, his eyes wrinkling at the corners, and became a still image. Chia looked around, feeling disappointed. Things weren't quite the right size somehow, or maybe she should have used those fractal packets that messed it all up a little, put dust in the corners and smudges around the light switch. Zona Rosa swore by them. When she was home, Chia liked it that the construct was cleaner than her room ever was. Now it made her homesick, made her miss the real thing. She gestured for the living room, phasing past what would have been the door to her mother's bedroom. She barely wire-framed it here, and there was no there-there, no interiority. The living room had its sketchy angles as well, and furniture she'd imported from a Playmobil system that predated her sandbenders. Wonkily bitmapped fish swam monotonously around in a glass coffee table she'd built when she was 9. The trees through the front window were older still, perfectly cylindrical Crayola brown trunks, each supporting an acid-green cotton ball of undifferentiated foliage. If she looked at these long enough, the Mumphalumphagus would appear outside, wanting to play, so she didn't. She positioned herself on the Playmobil couch and looked at the programs scattered across the top of the coffee table. The Sandbender system software looked like an old-fashioned canvas water bag, a sort of canteen. She'd had to consult What Things Are, her icon dictionary, to figure that out. It was worn and spectacularly organic, with tiny beads of water bulging through the tight weave of fabric. If you got in super close, you saw things reflected in the individual droplets. Circuitry that was like beadwork, or the skin on a lizard's throat. A long, empty beach under a gray sky. Mountains in the rain. Creek water over different colored stones. She loved sandbenders. They were the best. The Sandbender's organ was screened faintly across the sweating canvas, as though it had almost faded away under a desert sun. System 5.9. She had all the upgrades to 6.3. People said 6.4 was buggy. Beside the water bag lay her schoolwork, represented by a 3-ring binder suffering the indignities of artificial bit rot, its wireframe cover festered with digital mung. She'd have to reformat that before she started her new school, she reminded herself. Too juvenile. Her low-res collection, albums, compilations, and bootlegs, were displayed as the original cased discs. These were stacked up, as casually as possible, beside the archival material she'd managed to assemble since being accepted into the Seattle chapter. This looked, thanks to a fortuitous file swap with a member in Sweden, like a lithographed tin lunchbox, res and low, peering stunned and fuzzy-eyed from its flat rectangular lid. The Swedish fan had scanned the artwork from the 5 printed surfaces of the original, then mapped it over wireframe. The original was probably Nepalese, definitely unlicensed, and Chia appreciated the reverse cachet. Zona Rosa coveted a copy, but so far all she'd offered were a set of cheesy TV spots for the 5th Mexico Dome concert. They weren't nearly cheesy enough, and Chia wasn't prepared to swap. There was a shadowy Brazilian tour documentary supposed to have been made by a public access subsidiary of Globo. Chia wanted that, and Mexico was the same direction as Brazil. She ran a finger down the stacked disks, her hand wire-framed, the finger tipped with quivering mercury, and thought about the rumor. There had been rumors before. There were rumors now. There would always be rumors. There had been the rumor about Lo and that Danish model, that they were going to get married, and that had probably been true, even though they never did. And there were always rumors about Rez and different people. But that was people. The Danish model was people, as much as Chia thought she was a snotbag. The rumor was something else. What exactly? She was on her way to Tokyo to find out. She selected Low-Res Skyline. The virtual Venice her father had sent for her 13th birthday looked like an old dusty book with leather covers, the smooth brown leather scuffed in places into a fine suede, the digital equivalent of washing denim in a machine full of golf balls. It lay beside the featureless, textureless gray file that was her copy of the divorce decree and the custody agreement. She pulled the Venice toward her, opened it. The fish flickered out of phase, her system launching a subroutine. Venice decompressed. The piazza, in midwinter monochrome, its facades texture-mapped in marble, porphyry, polished granite, jasper, alabaster, the rich mineral names scrolling at will in the menu of peripheral vision. This city of winged lions and golden horses. This default hour of gray and perpetual dawn. She could be alone here, or visit with the music master. Her father, phoning from Singapore to wish her a happy birthday, had told her that Hitler, during his first and only visit, had slipped away to range the streets alone, in these same small hours, mad perhaps, and trotting like a dog. Chia, who had only a vague idea who Hitler might have been, and that mainly from references and songs, understood the urge. The stones of the piazza flowed beneath her like silk as she raised a silvered finger and sped into the maze of bridges, water, arches, walls. She had no idea what this place was meant to mean, the how or why of it, but it fit so perfectly into itself and the space it occupied, water and stone slotting faultlessly into the mysterious hole. The gnarliest piece of software ever. And here came the opening chords of Positron Premonition.